today on Real Radio.
As Christians, I'm to step back and not fight the fight for my interest, but I'm to fight the fight for the other person. This is what Christianity is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, begins in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, with verses 1 through 4. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote these verses with a fatherly approach, if you will. He prepared the church at Philippi for what was ahead while comforting them with God's grace and peace. We can't have joy without first having grace and peace. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart and unmerited favor. Peace is the prosperity of the soul and the quietness of the mind. When we stand fast in the Lord and His Word, we will find rest while being surrounded by God, our Defender. When our minds are stayed on Him, we can rejoice in His love and protection. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us how to have the peace of God when we've forgotten what we are. We must always remember that we are ministers of God. Division and strife can threaten the church, but God is for reconciliation, and He wants us to come together in unity. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible tells us, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19. For what is our hope, says the apostle? Listen. Or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. The apostle is saying that when Christ returns, my joy is going to be that you have lived a life that honors Christ when He appears. That's my desire too. I think it's your desire. I mean, there's going to be a generation that when Christ comes, He's going to interrupt that church service. I hope it's today. And I want to be able to say, you're my rejoicing, you're my crown. I'd feel so embarrassed to say such a thing, but I want to be able to like agree with Paul and say, I've taught them the Word of God. I've not kept back the full counsel of God. That I've instructed them to look for Your coming. And in the meantime, to be busy about our Father's business. And I want to be able to say that if Christ would come back like Paul, I'm rejoicing in the fact that that is the reward. That's what Paul is saying. You are my reward, Philippians. Boy, we need more ministers like Paul today. And notice the result of this. It is that peace and that grace. In Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Listen, when you're beloved and when you realize you're longed for, and when you are the joy and the crown, the target of love, there's a peace to that that comes into your life. And you might want to put this down. I think it's awesome. A lot of Greek scholars say that the actual rendering of this portion of the verse reads like this. Look at your Bible. Therefore, my beloved and my longed for, my brethren, my joy, my crown. Do you hear that? Wow. Their success in the faith was everything to the apostle. The second thing we see right here is a tremendous military term. Look at this. Verse 1 goes on to teach us that we are the defendant of God, that God defends us. He says, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Stand fast. The word stand fast here is a military command. It means to be stationary of God. Listen, it means to be preserved by God. It means to be defended by God or of God, that we are surrounded by God's defense. That stand fast is a term that means you get down in a position. And here's what is kind of amazing about the word that is used here. It's a word that was synonymous with the gladiators. And the gladiator, if you were watching a gladiatorial fight, and if it looked like one gladiator was going down, it looks like he's not going to make it. The gladiator had learned to stand fast. That's when he would employ this word, stand fast. It meant that in the face of certain death, in the face of absolute loss, there was a position that they were to take. We would say it today, I'm not going down without a fight. Remember that? You know that term? That's the same thing. When the gladiator realized, you know what? I don't think I'm going to make it. Instead of saying, uncle, or I give up, or time out, the gladiator would go out with dignity. He would take a stance of fighting, and people knew, you know what? He's done, but he's not quitting. Do you hear that? Christian, you may feel, or maybe your day comes when you're done. Our time's up. Your time's up. But you're never quitting. Was it Winston Churchill who said, it's always too soon to quit? Yeah. We're in a battle. We're fighting. And Paul says, stand fast. Take the position. Now, we know that Christ will defend us. No matter what. You say, well, Jack, what about this and what about that? Christ will defend us. Yeah, but I lost this battle in court. Or what about the people that are dying on the fields of Syria or Iraq? Listen, God defends them. What about those who are being killed and persecuted in Vietnam right now? God will defend them. You say, I don't get what you're saying. Listen, being defended doesn't only mean escaping the perils of this life. Being defended is God has given us a guarantee to present us safe and sound in the kingdom of his love, of heaven. God will do that. He'll never let you down. He will never forsake you. We're defended by God. Stand fast, he says to them. In the Lord. Circle the word in. In the Lord. That's our strength. In the Lord. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. There you go. Gladiatorial, centurion, Roman word, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, verse 14 says. In fact, look at verse 14. Ephesians 6:14. Stand your ground, says the New Living Translation. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith. Stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Isn't that awesome? His arrows don't have to hit us. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the Spirit, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and in every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. The soldier, stand. Why? Because God is our defense. We have often forgotten, Christian, the fact that God will defend us. We're beloved of God. God says he'll defend us. And Paul is encouraging the believers. The second point we see in verses 2-3 is this. How to have peace, the peace of God, when? When what? When we have forgotten what we are. When we have forgotten what we are. The Bible teaches us that we are ministers. Just for fun, let me see your hands. I do this, I abuse you often on this. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. Okay, did you know that as a Christian, you are servants of the Most High God? You don't, if you're waiting to be ordained or recognized by some institution or organization to serve, you got it all wrong. God's people are servants, they're ministers, and we are ministers to one another. That's God's call upon our lives. We're to minister to each other. What does that look like? I think it's an infinite picture of what that might look like. Now, before I read this, can you imagine what we're about to read here? Let me put this. Paul is writing this to the Philippians. He writes it out. He hands it to a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. And he's going to leave Rome and he's going to take it to the church at Philippi. And he's going to go into the gathering and he's going to read it out loud. That's what they did. When the book of Ephesians arrived to the church at Ephesus, someone got up in the podium or they got to the gathering of believers and they read it out loud and the believers heard it for the first time. Are you with me? So remember, let's just put on our little sandals and robe for a moment and it's 21 centuries back now and you're sitting in the church and Epaphroditus shows up and he has the letter from Paul and you and Syntyche and Euodia, two women, you haven't been getting along in church. You've been griping back and forth. You've been eating each other up with words. You have a rift going on. It's causing problems in the church, but you're sitting there. And Epaphroditus comes to verse 2 and he says, I implore you, Euodia, and I implore you, Syntyche, or whatever her name is, Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Can you imagine? They're sitting there, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Yeah, the church is going to be great today. Oh, we heard we have a letter from the Apostle Paul all the way from Rome. And these women are busted publicly in a church gathering. Can you imagine? They might have been sitting there. They got their hat on. They got the little flower going. And they just got done singing a song. And they just start sinking in their seats. Their name is read. That's amazing. 21 centuries later, we're looking at these names. How'd you like to be these two ladies? You know what they forgot to do? They forgot to be ministers one to another. We know that they're amazing women, by the way. Paul's going to commend them tremendously. By the way, ladies, you need to get excited about the fact and remember this. Wherever Christianity is preached, the lifestyle and standards and liberty and freedoms of women are always exalted. Women had a prominent role in the first century church and to this day. They served greatly. They were powerful in the body of Christ. Remember that. I love the fact that the first evangelists of the resurrected Christ were women. Think of that. God loves his better creation. I mean, men, you know, God made man and he made us out of dirt. But women were made out of the side of man. It's amazing. Not that God needs to practice, but women seem to have an amazing, I don't want to say natural because it's supernatural, but women seem to have almost a natural propensity to better relate to God. See, you just ask her right there. See that? That's what I mean. Men, it's kind of like when we read about things in the Bible, men, it's hard for us guys, especially if we were brought up with a father figure that was standoff-like. It's difficult for us to break some of those things. Women just seem to make a beeline right for the heart of God. And that's awesome. And God seems to reward that. So this is an issue of conflict, we know from the scripture. It's a situation where there's contention in the body. And strife is happening. That's what these words imply. Strife's going on. There's a chance for potential division in the body at Philippi. And there's two things I want to say about this as we apply what's going on to their situation for us today, is I want you to be encouraged. You guys, there are rifts in a church that you ought not to lose sleep over. There are those divisions that take place that are of God. Sometimes when God begins to work in a church, he begins to cleanse the body from false believers. God knows. We may not. God knows. Charles Spurgeon, as I've said before, Spurgeon said regarding this, he called them blessed subtractions. Those, though they may hurt, are sent from God. And those will almost always be regarding conduct reasons that will not be repented of or doctrinal reasons which will not be changed. Okay, those divisions need to happen. But then there's the sad reality that there are divisions that happen in people's lives or in churches where it ought not to be happening at all because of carnality. And that's what we have going on here with these two. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us. Note this, everyone. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. God's forgiven Jack. God's cleansed Jack. Now listen, that's all true. But there's a great part of Jack that still lives on that I have to every day seek to crucify. You know that? There's the part of Jack that tries to rise back up and I've got to fight Jack back down. I don't know Jack when it comes to that. I have to say, get thee behind me to that old Jack. And you and I fight that. We fight it in relationships. We fight it even in our thought life. We fight it in all kinds of things. But look what he's saying here. You need to remember, you've been reconciled to God. That means that God has made up the division between you and God. Verse 19 says, that verse 18 goes on to say that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. These two women, just like you, by the Holy Spirit, have been given the ministry of reconciliation, meaning we put ourselves on the back burner. Listen, friends, listen. Keep your eyes on the verse still, but listen. As Christians, I'm to step back and not fight the fight for my interest, but I'm to fight the fight for the other person. This is what Christianity is. Beware of the part that's within us all to always have the last word in the argument. We always have to come out on top. That's carnality. Yield it to God. State the truth, state it in love, and leave it in the hands of God. Pray. God is for reconciliation. Verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, and that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses anymore, that is not keeping a record anymore of their sins. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13 says that love doesn't keep record. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means that you and I have the word of God in us, and regarding our marriage or regarding our business dealings or regarding our community that we traffic in, God has gifted the Christian with the ability to put forth truth to bring about reconciliation. That is the spirit in the heart of what the Bible says, Jesus says, is the ministry life of the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemaker. Where does that come from? They now have peace with God themselves. And they turn around and they wind up having a ministry of getting people to make up. And it starts with them. It's a powerful thing. We are to be ministers like that. We are to get up from this church today and we are to clothe ourselves with this ministry that we all have of reconciliation. And I hope you understand that I say that based on biblical reconciliation. We have to be careful in this day and age because we think that unduly bestowed compromise is some virtue of God. It's not. We're talking about reconciliation and the things of the Christian's life and what honors God. If these women would have decided to honor the Lord and put the other one first, their names wouldn't have wound up in the Bible. But they were prominent women. We'll see in a moment. And this is a good practice for us. Look what he says. He uses the word implore, parakaleo. It's actually a word that's used of the Holy Spirit. Kaleos, to come along, is to comfort or to bring ease. And para is alongside. Come along the warring party. So listen, don't say anything right now. Don't raise your hand. But do you have someone in the house of God that you are at odds with? The Bible says parakaleo to you. Go to them, get alongside them in the ministry of reconciliation, put yourself on the back burner and get that relationship fixed. You want to know why? It's bigger than you and it's bigger than that person. It's all about Jesus. It's for him. He loves it. Do it for him. You may say, I'm not willing. We're Christians. You can say, Lord, I'm not willing. Make me willing. Do what he would have us to do. So the word, parakaleo, is to summon alongside or to come near to the other with the intent to comfort. And then the same mind, the word same mind, listen to this. The word same mind means to think the same thoughts about the issue. God doesn't make robots. He doesn't want robots. But regarding doctrinal things and Christian conduct, God says, think the same thoughts. That word also means to think the same thoughts at the same time about the same thing. See, how do you do that? I believe it's impossible to do that unless we follow Jesus and have the mind of Christ. Think of it. Because we are so, when we're at a rift with someone, we are so justified in our position, aren't we? That's why we've taken the position. Listen, if you're all hot and bothered and you've got your position, you are fully committed to the fact that you're right and they're wrong, while they're across town with the exact same thoughts you have. They have the same thoughts, but they're not Christ's thoughts. You're thinking like the world. And the Bible is saying, forget your thoughts, think Christ's thoughts regarding this. That's how we think the same thought. That's why the Bible study and the daily Bible reading of the Word of God is so important, because it settles God's truth within us, and that we become one that way. We think the same way. We answer the same way. We come to the same conclusion. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Many are broken in the body of Christ because they haven't done this. They've not prayed. They've not experienced the healing of God. Pride keeps us from making up. Years ago, I read this. My goodness, I don't know, decades ago now. Listen to this. It's painfully true. Most often, the person who cannot say they're sorry for what they've done holds their ground because they're anchored to pride. Pride will not let them say they're sorry. They'll send you chocolates, they'll mail you flowers, but they won't say sorry. And God never said send chocolates or mail flowers. Why? Listen. Because I know inevitably someone's going to say, I'm not going to give that bum the satisfaction of hearing me say I'm sorry. You have completely forgotten why God has called us to make up. It's to set you free. In fact, I'll prove it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Listen to this. Matthew 18, 15. These few verses are the least practiced verses in all of the Bible, I'm convinced. Everybody wants to quote them when it's to their favor, but I don't know if people obey it. Are you ready? Moreover, if your brother sins against you, have you ever had that happen? Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Don't Facebook it, don't tweet it, don't Instagram it. And don't gossip about it in a prayer meeting.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How to Have Peace with God When. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that the peace of God fills your heart and mind, and that you rejoice always in God's truth. Today was day two of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you are new to Christianity and you'd like to know more about Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. It's a great place to be introduced to the Lord and to learn more about what we've been talking about here on the program. Maybe you have somebody in your life and you don't feel comfortable being the one telling them how to know God. Well, why don't you let us help you with that? Send your friend or loved one to the reallifewithjackhibbs.org website and have them click on the Know God tab. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the Real Life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. Did you know that this ministry, by the way, is completely backed by you, our listeners? Thank you for your continued support. And if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do so right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to keep things real simple like I do, get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet to find a real simple and easy way to support this ministry. By the way, next time you're on YouTube, why don't you set up your notifications to let you know when Pastor Jack has put something new up on YouTube? Wouldn't that be great? Just go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.